worship Him. Week after week, we just continue to bring our hearts before the Lord. Bring us into the Lord's presence. Okay.
Own. Oops, sorry, Dom. So I just want to let you know, sometimes, and I really, really love to see these children here this morning, but sometimes the parents get a little uneasy because they get to squirming and those kind of things. And so we want to let you know that in the fellowship hall, there's a television that streams the service that's going on in here. And so if you ever feel like you just can't sit still and you feel like it'd be better for you to go in the back, then you're welcome to do that. But most of the people in here are good with kids. So we're happy to see them. And so don't leave them at home. This last week we started a new series called Unshakable Faith, and I gave to you a little booklet called The Bridge of Faith, and hopefully you've taken that home with you and are looking at it. Some very wonderful things that are going on in there. If you did not get a book last week, would you raise your hand? Rick has some books that he's going to give to you. And by the way, while he's doing that, Brother Gary and I, he wanted to become a member of our church. And so I went over to his house and we talked about what that meant. And so you missed one. That's all right. You missed two. Here's another one. So Brother Gary and I were talking about what membership meant, and he wanted to become a member of our church. And so he passed the test. He passed the test. And so Brother Gary, would you stand, please? And would you welcome him as a new member of our church? Praise the Lord. You're going to have an opportunity to just say hi to him after service and welcome him here as part of our family. So thank you, Brother Gary. If you've never, Brother Gary is full of wonderful stories. If you've never had the opportunity to sit down with him and just visit with him, he can keep you entertained for hours. And he's a wonderful friend, and I'm so glad that he's been able to participate with us. One of the things about this book, we're talking about 12 planks. So now, as you know, the world is changing. As you know, the United States is changing. And a lot of times, if we're not careful, we can begin to lose our faith. We can get disgruntled, we can get upset, we can get angry, we can get despondent, we can even go into despair and depression. That's not what God has for us. What He wants us to do is, during difficult seasons, He wants our faith to rise. And so what we're going to be doing is, in the next however many ever weeks, we're going to be talking about 12 planks to get your faith to rise. We don't want to be in the same place that we are now. When we finish this series, we want our faith to increase. And so if you stay with me, and if you approach this with a right heart, it's going to do every one of us a wonderful bit of good. Now, if you go through there, and last week I gave you a little test. There's 12 planks. I asked you, and for those of you who've just gotten your book, there's a test in the very back of the book. And it'll ask you to give you, on a scale of 1 to 10, give your which is your best and which is your least area of faith? And some of you, and many of you handed your cards in, and I appreciate that from last week, because it kind of helps me know where we're, what I need to really dive into. So what he's encouraging you to do is take this booklet. There are scripture verses that you can memorize, meditate on, gorge yourself with. And if you do this, it will cause that area of your life, faith, to increase. Okay? And so we're going to be talking about today God's love. It's vital that you understand how much God loves for you, how much God loves you. We just sang a song about the foundation, God's love being a foundation. If you don't get that, you're going to be you're not going to have the faith that you need in every area of your life. You have to know that you know that you know that God loves you. But you might say, well, I don't deserve it. So let me ask you a question. Let's just follow me a second. So you have a baby born into your family. Comes into your home. Disrupts everything that you've ever done. Cry all hours of the night. Wake you up. Poops their pants. Stinks up the whole house. What did that baby do to deserve your love? And then, on their first birthday, the first Christmas, they get this plethora of gifts because you love them. What did they do to deserve your love? They didn't do a thing. They are just there. But you talk about love of a parent for a kid, there's no greater love. No greater love except for God's love. Now, does the child sit back and wonder, man, I wonder, do I deserve my parents' love? Do I deserve my parents? And even when they're 13 and they go haywire, you still love them. Even when they're rebellious and you can't stand to be around them, you still love them. Do they deserve your love? So why do you love them? Because they're a gift from God. Even godless people love their kids. Most of them anyway. It's hard for me to understand why some people hate kids and want to destroy them even before they're born. It's hard for me to wrap my head around that. I can't get it. I can't comprehend it. It makes no sense to me. What I understand is there's something in those people that are broken. That's the only reason. That's the only reason a person would want to end the life of a child. Now it's becoming so that even after they're born, they can end the life. If the parents say, okay, it's okay. It's sad. It's sickening. What would cause a person to do that? There's something broken in them. They've never been able to experience love or something. I don't get it. I don't understand. Makes no sense to me. The first fact that you need to understand is this. God loves you. God's love for you is not determined by who you are, but by who He is. God's love for you is not determined by who you are, but it's determined by who He is. 1 John 4:16 says, "We know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in His love. God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them." God is love. The Scripture says, God, there's other places in Scripture that says, God is love. God is love. Turn to your neighbor and say, God is love. Turn to your neighbor and say, God loves you. Now turn to him and turn to your neighbor and say, God loves me. God loves you. God loves you. God loves you. God is love. That's a tremendous character trait of God. And it doesn't matter what you do, God loves you. So here is a passage of Scripture you may know, John 3:16. Say it with me. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." God's love, you ought to be awestruck by God's love. That should fill you with wonder that God loves you. God loves you. Can you trust that? Can you believe that? The second fact is, God's love for you is not determined by what you've done, but by what He's done for you. God's love for you is not determined by what you've done, but by what He's done for you. And you know, a lot of people say, "Well, man, I don't know how God can love me because of what I've done." Do you remember a lady by the name of Mary Magdalene? You go in Luke chapter 8, verses 1 to 10. This is an interesting thing. We think many times about the disciples, the 12 apostles and the disciples that are following Jesus. But this passage of Scripture not only do the 12 apostles follow Jesus, but there's a bunch of women that followed Him as well. The apostles were called. These just kind of came along. And this is what it says in this passage. "Soon afterward, Jesus began His tour of nearby towns and villages, preaching and announcing the good news about the kingdom of God. He took His 12 disciples with Him, and along with some women He had healed and from whom He had cast out evil spirits. Among them were Mary Magdalene, from whom He had cast out 7 demons." Mary was packing. Okay? She was not a wonderful person. I don't know how many people you've been around that's demon-possessed, but I've been around a few, and they're just ugly people. They're just ugly. It's hard to get along with them. They're argumentative. Hateful. Demonic. Pardon? Yeah, and usually that's just one. But you've got 7. You've got problems. Mary had problems. Did Jesus love her? Yes, He did. He loved her so much He delivered her. He freed her from those demons. He set her free. She didn't have to worry or wonder about it anymore. I don't know if you've seen the movie The Chosen or not. I would encourage you, get those videos or get it on your app on your phone or whatever, however you want to watch it. Watch the videos, The Chosen. It's a remarkable season of shows that you will be, and I can't wait till next season to see it. A wonderful depiction of this one lady, Mary Magdalene, shown in here, as well as others. So Jesus met Peter. You probably remember the story. Peter had been out fishing all night, didn't catch anything, and Jesus came up by the seashore, and he said, "Hey, go back out and fish." And Peter said, "Man, I've been fishing all night. And we didn't catch a thing. Didn't catch one minnow. Didn't catch a mouthful. We didn't catch nothing." Jesus said, "Go back out." He said, "Well, okay, that's your word." He went out, threw his nets in, and filled two boats. Not just one boat, but two boats full of fish. And when Peter came back to land, he fell on his face and he said, "Depart from me, because I'm a sinful man. Depart from me, because I'm a sinful man." Peter knew he didn't deserve God's love. Peter knew who he was. He knew his failures. He knew his faults. He knew his sinful life. He knew his language. I've never met a fisherman who didn't have language. He knew his language. He knew. And yet Jesus said to Peter, "Peter, I want you to follow me. Come with me." Peter left his nets and he followed Jesus because of Jesus' love for him. Romans 5:8 says, "But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners." You know, a lot of times people say, "Well, when I get better," let me ask you a question. How much better do you need to get before God's going to love you? Did you know he loves you just like you are? He loves you just like you are. And you need to embrace that. You need to hold on to that. You need to cling to that, because God is God, and whether you like it or not, he's going to love you. He'll love the stink right off of you. God loves you. God loves you. God loves you. Peter couldn't believe it. It took him a while to get it. Took him a while to get it. But God showed his love for you in that while you were still a sinner, Christ died for you. He didn't wait till we got cleaned up. He died for us while we were still his enemy. Jesus said, "I did not come to die for the godly. I didn't come to save the righteous. I came to save sinners. I came to save sinners." Ephesians 2, 4 and 5. "But God is so rich in mercy." Say, "So rich in mercy." "So rich in mercy. And he loved us so much." Say that. "He loved us so much." Say it one more time. "He loved us so much." Say, "He loved me so much." "He loved me so much that even though you were dead because of your sins, he gave you life when he raised Christ from the dead." He loved you so much. So much. So much. So much. So much. Fact number three, some people struggle with the concept of God's love because of life's difficulties. Because of life's difficulties. There are some of God's children who struggle with physical pain. They struggle with illnesses. They struggle with one thing after another, after another, after another. It could be financial problems. It could be relationship problems. It could be a host of other problems, and they struggle in life. And they wonder, "Does God really love me because I struggle so much?" I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but I would bring your attention to one passage of scripture in Jeremiah. Did you know Jeremiah had a difficult ministry? It wasn't like life change. It was like death. It was horrible. Jeremiah, and sometimes Jeremiah would be kind of like, what in the world? Matter of fact, he said one time, I'm going to just quit preaching. Nobody's listening anyway. But then he goes on to say, the fire of God just kind of keeps welling up in me. I've got to preach anyway, just because I just got to. But he had a miserable ministry. Israel was not welcome to what he had to say. And this is what God said to Jeremiah. In Jeremiah chapter 12, verse 5, Jeremiah had been kind of complaining and asking God, what in the world is going on? And then verse 5, God speaks. And he says, if you have run with the footmen and they've wearied you, then how can you contend with horses? And if in the land of peace in which you trusted they wearied you, then how will you do in the floodplain, the Jordan? Jeremiah, if you've been marching with the infantry and you're wore out with them, wait till you start running with the horses. Jeremiah, if you got wore out by walking in the plains of easy going, what are you going to do whenever you get into turbulent trails where there's rock and boulders and difficulties at every step? What are you going to do then? Did you know God doesn't come along and say, oh, poor Brad. Poor Jeremiah. I'm so sorry you're going through such difficulties. No, what he says is, Jeremiah, I'm preparing you for something. I've got a plan for you. I've got a design upon your life. And if you will just allow me to, I'll prepare you. I will give you endurance so that you can do what I've called you to do. I don't understand all God's ways, but I do understand this. He allows difficulties to come our way because he's got something better for us ahead, and we can't face that if we don't go through these difficulties. And that's where Jeremiah was. He's like, God, I've had enough of this. And God said, well, I'm not done yet. Here's a little more. Here's a little more. And Jeremiah eventually ran with the horses. Eventually, he was able to walk in difficult paths. And God blessed him, and God blessed him, and God blessed him. It's not easy being a Jeremiah. It's easy being pastor of Life Change. But it's not easy being a Jeremiah. And when you go through difficult times, you just remember that God is preparing you for the next step. Preparing you for the next step. Not because God hates you, but because he loves you. That's why he was preparing Jeremiah, because he loved him. God, thank you for the difficulties. Thank you for the preparation that you're having upon my life. Thank you. I pray that I do well in the difficulties. Fact number 4, God's perfect everlasting love is beyond anything you can imagine. God's perfect everlasting love for you is beyond anything you can imagine. 1 John 3:1. See how very much our Father loves us. Our Father, get that? It's our Father. See how much our Father loves us, for he calls us his children, and that is what we are. One of the reasons God loves you is because you're his child. Yeah, you don't deserve it. Dennis, you don't deserve it. You're just his child. You're just his child. Just like our children don't deserve it. They're just our child. And nothing can destroy that love because we're his child. We just belong to him. It's a gift given to us. And you say, well, I don't deserve it. Well, get over it. Get over it. Just accept it. Just receive it. Second thing, John 17:23. I in them and you in me, may they experience such perfect unity and that the world will know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me. This is Jesus' prayer in John 17. And this is just before his crucifixion and all of that that's going on, his passion. And he says, in his prayer, he says, God, I know that you love them, talking about us, just as much as you love me. Did you know that God loves you just as much as he loves Jesus? That doesn't blow you away. Jesus praying, God, and you know, he didn't even get jealous about it. He didn't even get upset about it. Well, I'm supposed to be the favorite. Because I'm the only begotten son. But no, he said, reveal to them that you love them just as much as you love me. Wow. That's pretty remarkable, isn't it? You need to receive that. Don't question it. Just receive it. If you were to ask God, God, do you love me as much as you love Jesus? What do you think he'd say? Yep, I've already said it. I do. I love you just as much as I love my son, Jesus. That'll blow you away. If you think about it, it'll blow you away. Boy, isn't this great? Isn't it great to be loved by God? And here's another thing. Found in Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17. For the Lord your God is living among you. He is a mighty Savior. He will take delight in your gladness. With his love, he will calm all your fears. He will rejoice over you with joyful songs. It says the Lord God is living among you. Listen, do you like to live with people you don't like? God said, I love you so much, I'll just move in, be with you. I'm part of you. I'm coming in. You've opened my life. You've said, you know, in Revelation 3:16, I think it is, says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone will hear my voice and open the door, I will come in with him, come into him and sup with him and he with me. When you open that door, when you heard his voice, when you heard his knock and you opened the door, God came in and he ain't leaving. Because he loves you. He said, I came to live with you. That's just one phrase in Zephaniah. Another thing he says is he will take delight in you with gladness. Do you know why God created the universe? Do you think he created it for his pleasure? He created it for your pleasure. He created us for his pleasure. He created the universe for our pleasure. Isn't that amazing? That God would do that, that he loves you enough. Don't you like to give pleasure to your kids? Don't you like to do, so when you buy them gifts, you want them to like it, right? And you want to give them things that they will enjoy. God created the whole universe for our enjoyment. Isn't that crazy? That's crazy love. That's crazy love. Let's read on in Zephaniah. With his love, he will calm all your fears. How many of you have anxiety and fears and stress? Did you know that God said that if you'll get with me and allow me to love on you, all that fear will go away? When you really understand my love for you, when you really accept it, when you really embrace it, when you really walk in it, when you really believe it, all those fears will go away because you know I've got you. You know I've got you. You know I've got you. And then the last part of this passage of Scripture says, he will rejoice over you with joyful songs. When I was a kid, I was about, I don't know, probably 8. I have a cousin who's named Dwight Lindsay. And Dwight would, he would come visit us. He lived in Butler, Alabama, and we lived in South Mississippi every now and then. In the summer, he would come and visit with us. I remember he was about 15 years old. I was about 8. And he played the guitar, and he would get on the phone with his girlfriend. And he would strum the guitar, and he'd start singing love songs to her. And I was remember about 8 years, and I'm man, that's weird. That is really weird, Dwight. I didn't tell him that, but I'm thinking, that's weird. Singing love songs to your girlfriend. That's weird. But Zephaniah says, God sings love songs to you. That's what he says. That he loves you so much. He's singing love songs over you. That's not weird. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. Can you imagine someone that loves you like that? It's hard to imagine, but it's real. Wonderfully real. But I got to share this last thing with you. Fact number 5. Not everyone will love you when you follow Jesus. So you cannot base God's love for you on how everybody else treats you as a believer. Not everyone falls in love with you because you're a Christ follower. You might think that's the way it ought to be. That's not what Jesus said. He said the world, in John 15:19, the world would love you as one of its own if you belong to it, but you are no longer part of the world. I chose you to come out of the world, so it hates you. Being a follower of Christ is not real popular. And it's getting less so. And you know what? It's okay. I don't care if anybody else loves me or not. I know God does. The world can go to hell because they are. Until they meet Christ. Until they, now, I wouldn't tell that to somebody's face. I'm just telling you. I wouldn't tell, you know, I've heard preachers share the gospel of Christ. Will you receive Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? No, I don't want it. Well, go to hell then. I don't think I would do that. But that's where they're headed. And I'd like to hear that. And I won't say it because I want to build relationships with them and I want to bring them into the kingdom. The only way a person can go to heaven is by receiving Christ as the personal Lord and Savior. There are those who will hate you and despise you and want to wish you harm because you have a biblical worldview rather than a secular worldview. 1 John 3:12-13 says, we must not be like Cain who belonged to the evil one and killed his brother. And why did he kill him? Because Cain had been doing what was evil and his brother had been doing what was righteous. So don't be surprised, dear brothers and sisters, if this world hates you. It's not easy being hated. I don't like it when people don't like me. It bothers me when people don't like me. But regardless if the world likes me or not, God loves me. Jesus proved that on the cross when he died for me. He demonstrated God's love, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The truth is, if you follow Christ, it's not going to make everybody happy. Understand that. Didn't make them happy with Jeremiah. That's one of the reasons he had such difficulty. People hated on him. Stuck him down in a cistern to die. The Lord rescued him, but he was hated on. You need to rejoice in the love of God. You need to accept and embrace God's love for you, because not everybody is going to love you. And you need to walk in His love, need to walk in His freedom, need to walk in His life that He has for you. But you need this foundation. You need to allow God to permeate your heart with His love for you. And if you're still struggling with that, two things I would ask you to do. Ask the Lord to forgive you for not believing Him, basically calling Him a liar. Okay? Forgive me, God, for not believing that you love me. I ask you to take that from my heart. I want to receive your love. And the second thing is, maybe today you've never received Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and therefore you have never experienced the love of God the way He wants to reveal Himself to you. If that is the case, I'm going to ask that you would pray. Ask the Lord to forgive you of your sins and put your faith in Jesus Christ. And basically, it's kind of like this. Dear Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I've gone my own way. I have not put my faith in you. I've never trusted you. But today, I'm asking your forgiveness. Remove my sin. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. I give my life to you. I know that you died for me to take away my sin. Wash me. Make me a child of yours. In Jesus' name. We're going to have a time of invitation. And if God has spoken to you and you need to make a decision for Him, the front's going to be open. You can kneel here at the front, or you can talk to me. I'll be over here to welcome you and pray for you if you need me to do that. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I come before you today. Lord, what a wonderful God you are. And Lord, I thank you for your love for us. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. Lord, I thank you for your abundant love that you pour out upon us. God, if there's anyone here today who has not experienced your love or don't know your love, I pray that they would not leave here today before they have that in their heart and life. Thank you and praise you in Jesus' name.